I just want to take a moment. I, in seminary, took a course on hymns and hymn history. And one of the things we did is look into some of the reasons why different hymns were written. This hymn in particular, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, was written by a man by the name of Tommy A. Dorsey. Not the big band Tommy Dorsey. This was a black evangelist in the 1930s. He was in Chicago doing a revival. His wife was in St. Louis preparing to have their first child. And while he was there, he got the message that his wife had gone into labor, had a difficult delivery, and she had died during the birth of the baby. The very next morning, he wrote this hymn. So out of that pain and out of that struggle, God gave him this wonderful hymn, reminding us that God does take our hand in difficult times. Our sermon text for today comes from Psalm 23. And I am going to be reading it out of the New International Version, and I just want to thank Ev for giving me a Bible big enough I can read. The print is big enough. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Often you'll hear this psalm read at funerals. It's kind of become one of the common psalms that we read at a funeral service. But I truly believe that this is not a psalm that's talking about death, but a psalm that's talking about life and our need to depend on God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means that if you follow God, he'll give you absolutely everything you want, right? No. That's not what it means. We oftentimes think that what we want is what we need. What it's talking about here in the Hebrew is not things that we want, but to be in want. In other words, to be in need. God takes care of our needs according to what we truly need, not according to what we want. We think we have to have things. We think we have to have lots of things. We have to have new phones and new computers and new cars and all this kind of stuff. It amazes me that when the next iPhone comes out, which they usually come out once every year, people line up to buy them. Why? Because they want to. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but that's sort of the way we come to live our lives, not by what we absolutely need, but by what we want. Now, I'm not saying I'm any different. There's lots of things that I want that I get. But when it comes to what we truly need in life, we need to depend on God and remember that God's going to take care of us and give us the things that we truly need in life. And not just talking about when difficult times come, but all the time. It's easy to go to God when things are difficult and say, oh God, this happened and I need you to be here. Well, why don't you invite him all the time? Allow God to be a part of the good things in your life too. More often than not, we only invite God to the bad things. And it's easy to follow God and to talk to God and to spend time with God when things are going wrong in our lives. When things are going right, we tend to have this idea we're in control and we're doing a pretty good job. Well, it doesn't take long before life tells us, no, you're not. That we need God. A shepherd's job is to care for the sheep, because sheep are like people. They're basically stupid. They need guidance. Left to ourselves, without a moral compass of God, without the direction that our faith gives us, we can see the decisions people make. They try to fill their lives with all kinds of other things. Left to themselves, sheep wander off. They get lost. They get hurt. They're just not the brightest animal that there is. And they're much like us. They need to be shown what is good for them, what they need to be doing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I grew up in the Midwest, and I remember fields that went on from horizon to horizon, just as green as you can imagine. And then in the fall, they turned just as golden. And it was amazing. But I've also been to Israel. And Israel has a different color. It's not green, it's not golden, it's brown. Israel is a very dry country. You'll be driving along and you'll see this beautiful orchard of orange trees or citrus trees. And just beautiful green. And then you'll see the pipes that they're pumping water onto these trees with. And they just continue to pump water onto them to get them to grow. And you get to the end of the pipe where there's no more water and it turns back to brown again. See, it's not an area like the Midwest where the green grass runs forever and ever. It's an area where there are pockets of green grass, wherever there's water. If there's a spring, there's going to be green grass and there's going to be fresh water. And a shepherd needs to know where these are. In our lives, we sometimes expect God to take us to that place where all we can see is green grass and everything's going to be wonderful and we can just lay down and enjoy it. But that's not what God does. That's not the shepherd's job. The shepherd's job is to take us to the place where we need to be today to get the grass that we need to help us to get through today, and then tomorrow to take us where we need to be tomorrow. Because the other thing about sheep is if you leave them in the same place long enough, they'll eat the grass. Then they'll eat the grass roots. And they'll actually kill the grass off. So they need to be moved around. They need to be cared for. And that's the shepherd's job. That's God's job to us, to take us where we need to be for today. We need to get in the habit of allowing God to lead us where we need to be today and not worry about tomorrow or what's coming next. So often we plan our lives out. We have these ideas of where we're going and what we're going to do, and it often doesn't work out. But if we allow God to lead us, He'll have us where we need to be when we need to be there. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my souls. We have an understanding of nice, calm pools of water. That doesn't happen too often in the Middle East. You might have a pocket here of water and a pocket there of water, but often we've heard the term wadi. Most of us who have been around for the last number of wars that the United States have been in, there's the wadi, which is a dry creek bed. And when it rains, they're absolutely dangerous. because the water flows down them with such power and pressure that it will destroy everything that's in its way. So a shepherd needs to understand what's coming. It needs to understand that this may be a calm pool right now, but if it's raining upstream of that wadi, it's going to be a dangerous place. And it may seem wonderful now, but it's not going to be in a short time. See, we don't understand what's coming in our lives. We don't understand what tomorrow's going to bring. But if we follow God and allow Him to lead us, then He's going to take us to where we need to be. He's going to take us to the places that are for us, that are safe for us. He can guide us to where we need to be. He guides me in paths of righteousness. This is probably one of the most important things in this passage. God is the one who tells us what is right and what is wrong. God is the one who gives us absolute truth. I am so sick and tired of hearing the world say, "Well, that's my truth." I could care less what your truth is. Because your truth is not absolute truth. It's just what you believe, and it's not truth. Truth is what God says is truth. It's what's in this book. That's what this book is for, to give us an understanding of what real truth is, of what God says is true and righteous. And we need to spend time in this book, spend time reading it and understanding it and learning what it says, because it's what guides us. If we go by what the world says, we're going to be all over the place. One example, eggs. Does anybody know if eggs are good this week or bad? Science says that eggs are bad for you. Next week. Science says you should eat eggs. Next week. Science says eggs are bad for you. Well, which is it? Are they good or are they bad? And they all say it's science, it's our wisdom, it's our understanding. I went to a Moravian seminary for one semester in college, or in seminary, and I loved the way they talked about good and bad, and especially when it came to food and that kind of thing. And they said, everything in moderation. You want to eat eggs? Don't eat 15 a day. Eat a few. You want to eat meat? Eat in moderation. Eat everything in moderation. Do everything in moderation. When you exercise, you can even overdo exercise. I think more than an hour of exercise a month is way too much. I see you're with me on that. But everything, even good stuff can be overdone. So if we follow God's truth and allow God to give us wisdom, then we're going to have the guidance that we need and we're going to follow His truth. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I think this is why we read this passage at funerals. Because one of the most difficult and scary and mind-numbing things that we go through in life is death. Because death scares us. Because those of us who have lost a parent, now one of those people we looked up to our whole life is gone. And for those of us who have lost both parents, you know, it almost feels like you're an orphan. You know, they're gone. You can't pick up the phone and call them. And it's a scary time. But death is also a part of life. I lost my mom to cancer when I was 18 years old. But it was an amazing time for me. Not because of losing her. I will never think that was a good thing, but because of her way of looking at death. For her, death was not leaving her children behind. And my sister had just had her first son, so my mom got to hold her first grandson before she died. And she knew she was leaving that behind, but she died with a smile on her face because she knew that death was not the end of anything, but just the beginning of something new. That's faith. Our faith allows us to understand that death is not the end, but it's just stepping through a doorway into something so much better and greater than we can even imagine. And for those of us who are believers, it's knowing that we go to be with God. And there's nothing greater than that. And also knowing that those we leave behind, God's not leaving. We may be going away, but God will still be with them. And when we understand that, it's easy for us to leave. I think it's harder for those of us who are left behind because we've lost something that's special to us, but they've gained everything. We don't mourn for them or what they've gained. We mourn for our own loss. And it's a shadow, though. Death, since the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, has absolutely no power. We shouldn't be afraid of dying. And one of the things that, and I learned this in the military, I don't know if I learned it or I figured it out. People always used to ask me, well, you were on submarines. What do you do if a submarine sinks? Well, the answer is you die. And once you get past that, the rest is easy. And it's true. When it hit me, and I was standing down in the engine room, cleaning out a lube oil purifier, which is not a fun thing, all slimy and there. And it hit me. It was the middle of the night, and we were under the polar ice caps. So if something would have happened, only one way to go, down. And it hit me. God's here. Where I am right now, God is with me. So even if I die, I don't die alone. God dies with me. He doesn't die with me. He's with me when I die. I'm not alone. I'll never be separated from God. Death can't separate me from God. And that changed my whole way of looking at life. Now, I don't go looking for death. I don't go looking to try and find a way to die young. Well, I'm already past the young part, but I know whatever happens in my life, God will be with me. He'll be there to guide me and direct me. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I read a small book this week. It's just about 80 to 100 pages, written in the early part of the 19th century by a Arab Christian shepherd, which was really interesting. I can't even pronounce his name. Fuad or something was his first name, and the last name was even worse. But he explained that the shepherds have two staffs. One is a short, thick stick, and the other is the one we think of, the long crook. He said, one is used on the sheep, and the other is never used on the sheep. He said the short, thick one is a club, and it is never used on the sheep. It's only used on the enemies of the sheep to protect the sheep. It's used when animals attack when robbers attack, it's used to defend the sheep, but it is never used on the sheep. The long crook, that's the one that's used on the sheep. Never to hit them, sometimes to nudge them a little bit, sometimes to reach down to a place where they've fallen and hook onto them and bring them up. It's used to guide them, but it's never used to hurt them. And I thought, you know, that's amazing. Not only is God guiding and directing us and protecting us with the crook and pulling us out of places where we get ourselves into, but he's also fighting off Satan for us. Because Satan is always trying to get us to do things. He's always trying to attack us, and God is always there for us. Sometimes I think we have this idea that we have to fight off Satan by ourselves. It's all up to our power to make Satan stop attacking us. That's not the case. The shepherd's there to guide and direct us, but he's also there to protect us. And with the gift of the Holy Spirit, God is with us to give us wisdom, to make decisions, to help us make those good decisions in following God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, ask anybody who's been in the military, and especially in a battle situation. When you're in the midst of something, we don't say, oh, wait a minute, it's supper time. Let's sit down and eat. Doesn't work that way. In the midst of battle, the only time you would ever sit down, and this is talking about having a really nice meal, is when you know the battle's over and you have won. And it's time to just renew yourself. So in the midst of what's going on in our lives, the struggles, we can sit down and say, hey, there's no problem. God has already won. The battle's already been won. And God will sit us down and give us a banquet. Just like one day we will sit down at the marriage feast of the Lamb, and we will rejoice with God. We will rejoice in what he's done. And then he says, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. To be anointed with oil means to be chosen. Chosen by God. God has chosen us. Doesn't mean he's rejected anybody else. He's chosen and called out to us, and we have answered. We've said, yes, Lord, we want to be a part of your people. We want you to be our Lord and Savior. And then he says, our cup overflows. That means it doesn't ever get empty. God's always there to give us what we need to fill up our cup, to give us what we need in life. And we go back to the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. That's the promise of the 23rd Psalm. It's not a psalm about death. It's a psalm about how to live life. God is with us. He guides us. He cares for us. He provides for us. And he loves us. God is our shepherd. Allow God to guide you and direct you, that you will be where he wants you to be. Amen.